Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. Thanks for joining me today, the first Monday of 2025, and it is a snowy Monday. And I like snow. Don't know if you do, but I like snow. Still, the kid in me likes to go out and play, not necessarily making snowmen and igloos, but just to go out and play with the Forerunner. Anyways, I trust you had a powerful day in the Lord yesterday, and that you were faithful in your attendance to the house. And we had a wonderful time yesterday. God really moved in a very special way yesterday. We had a supporting missionary with us, and he really challenged our folks and spoke on missions and giving and faith and the grace of God on Sunday morning, and just had a wonderful day. And we plan to go to Panama again this year. We went 2 years ago, and we're going to go again this year. Last year, I went to Kenya, Africa. But we're going to take, Lord willing, a good group with us. And so several folks from our church are praying about going. And I'm going to tell you, if you do go, you will come back completely different. You'll come back spirit-filled. You'll come back energized. You'll come back feeling, honestly, you'll be feeling really unworthy and ashamed in some regards and very humbled. I remember my first missions trip back in 2008. I went down to Nicaragua and El Salvador and Honduras, and just as seeing not just the the atmosphere, the surroundings and such, but to see the people and really their desire and their faithfulness to serve the Lord was just unbelievable. And I remember I was there for a couple of days, and everybody said, well, you're going to be changed and going on to mission field, and you're going to be changed. And first 2 days, I was just enamored with the sounds, the smells, and just the garbage and the trash that was just around, the poverty just seemingly captured my attention at first. But then the third day, I really began to pray, God, I really need you to open my eyes, and I really need you to show me and to work on my heart. And I want to see not just, what this place is as far as, the poverty in it, but I want to see the people. And he really did. And wow, what a powerful trip. It still has an effect on me today. And that was back in 2008. And this past year, I went to Kenya, Africa, just outside of Kisumu, just northeast, I suppose, of Lake Victoria. And again, the Lord, I didn't have to ask much of the Lord to change me and to work on my heart. He did almost right away. And just a fantastic trip of 9 days in Africa. And the Lord just worked on my heart. So I say that to say this, that if you really want God to move you and to see his heart and see his desire for souls to be saved, for the souls of Christ, I'd encourage you to go on to a missions trip. If you'd like to join our missions trip, you're more than welcome to. Just let me know. You can email me. I'll give you my email address here in a little bit. But if you'd like to do that, we'd be happy to have you, and I'll give you the cost and so on. The dates that we are going to go this year to Panama would be August the 4th through the 11th. That is a Monday through a Monday. And we would fly out of Atlanta and go down to Panama City, and then from Panama City to David, and there we'll get picked up and then taken to the church and taken to the mission field. So we're looking forward to that. And so I would encourage you to do that. And ask God, as we are, we're asking God to bless us and to help support and supply the need. And think of James 4:2. He says, you have not because you ask not. And so we are praying. And this is really kind of the start of our subject this year, and I am an advocate for prayer. I couldn't tell you how many prayers have been answered. I couldn't tell you how many prayers that God had changed, and God had said either no or wait and or a different direction, and too many to count. I know God works, and I know God answers, and when we pray in His name and we pray according to His will, His righteousness and his character demands him to answer us. And so this is really my challenge as we go on this first part of the year to really push us to become a prayer warrior. And we started in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, and we read verse number 9 and 10. Let me read this to you real quick. Again, I have my electronic Bible up on the screen, and I had to enlarge the fonts. Maybe I'm getting a little older. I don't know. But I had to enlarge the fonts so I could read them better. Is that a shame or not? I don't know. 1 Chronicles 4:9 says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." As I mentioned, in that verse, you'll find both the beginning and the ending of Jabez. As he starts off his life from the womb, his mother called him sorrow. And all throughout his life, I would imagine he'd have been derided. I'd imagine he'd been chided after and made fun of and really looked down upon because his name was describing sorrow. And we don't know exactly, you know, the circumstances of that. It could have been a hard birth. It could have been a child out of, something that took place that we would rather not speak of. And yet his name was sorrow. But the Bible talks about and begins with that he was more honorable than his brethren. It's almost like a contradiction. How can you be named sorrow and yet more honorable? Well, what took place is in chapter number 4 and verse number 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." So what had happened between in chapter number 4, verse 10, is the change that took place that brought Jabez from a man described as a man of sorrow, a man that was born in through a hard time or difficulty, and really probably through his life, was facing that situation constantly, and he wanted a change. And so we find that God said that he was more honorable than his brethren. Well, what happened? Well, that's what we're looking at. There's three keys, I think, that will help us as we go through this and kind of get us on that same track. I want this year for you and me to be a year that we become honorable before the Lord, a prayer warrior before God, one who can grab a hold of the throne of grace and know that God's listening and know that God's hearing and know that God will answer us. I want that year to be this year for both you and me. There are many prayers we're praying now or we'll begin praying tomorrow or next week or so on that we really need God to hear us and God to answer. So how do we do that? One thing is to say, this is what I need, okay, but how do I get to that point? How do I implement? What do I need to get there in my life? Well, we looked at number one last week. We looked at that he invoked it. In other words, he knew that he had to come to God. He started the conversation. He initiated the conversation between him and God. And in that, he asked God to bless him. To bless me indeed, as a matter of fact, is what he said. Bless me indeed. It was a positive prayer. It was a fervent prayer. It was a prayer of instinctive action. It was a fervent prayer of energy, great energy, that he became aware that he had to come to God. And with that word, bless me indeed, it was a positive expectation. All right? He is telling and asking God, boldly we can come before the throne of grace because we are washed under the blood of Christ and we come in his righteousness and in his name through the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can come boldly into the throne of grace. And Jabez did, and he said, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. And he said that knowing who God was. So he invoked the conversation. Hey, if you need a prayer answered, then you need to start a conversation with God. That's all there is to it. You've got to dial the number before you make the call. So you get on the prayer line of God between you and God and start talking to him. There's no special prayer. There's no written prayer that you need to initiate. You just start sharing with him your heart as you would a brother, as a father, as someone that you love. But God, we love so much more, and he loves us so much more than anybody else could. Now, let's start praying, and let's start initiating a conversation with the Lord. So he invoked it. That's the first key. That's the first key. You'll never get a prayer answered if you don't start a conversation. That's just the truth of the matter. All right, let's be realistic about it. Now, what's the second thing? Once you invoke the prayer, once you initiate the prayer, now you've already laid it down at the Lord's feet. You've already shared your request for him to him. You now have initiated the need or the desire or the physical things that we might have to have or receive. And so now what do we do? Do we just sit back? Well, no, not necessarily. We continue our conversation with the Lord. I do. I continue my conversation, and maybe he has changed his mind, or he has changed my mind, and our conversation changes a little bit. I'm still on the prayer line. I'm still talking with him. I still have needs and that. And so what am I doing? I am depending on him. All right. I initiate the prayer. I initiate my request. I come before God, and now I'm going to depend on God to answer. All right. I'm going to depend on God. In verse number 10, the Bible says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He knew who God was. He's seen, he heard by the historical accounts of what God has done, and he knows that God is able. So he began to depend on God concerning his prayer. Well, how can I do that? Or why should I depend on God? Well, because number one, he's our source. He is our source. There is no other source. He's our source. Can I share with you some verses? You might want to write them down, jot them down. If you're driving, please don't jot them down. Rewind this and then jot them down when you get home. All right? We find that there are several Hebrew names for God, and they're very interesting, and I want to share these with you. He realized the source. Jabez realized the source, and so he cried on, the Bible says, the God of Israel, or the Most High God. In other words, he cried to El Elyon. That's the Hebrew name for the Most High God. Let me give you a few other ones. We also can call God El Shaddai. You might have heard that before. You might have heard a song, El Shaddai. But El Shaddai means the Lord God Almighty. Not just partial mighty, not just sometimes mighty, but he's almighty. All the time, he is mighty. You'll find the word Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Hey, there are many, many prayers that we cry unto the Lord for great provision, whether it be financial, whether it be by health, whether it be by someone I'm stuck on the roadside. Lord, would you please send someone over to help me to take care of the problem or to take me someplace? I mean, we pray for many provisions. What are we doing? We're calling on Jehovah Jireh. We're calling on the Lord who will provide. You'll find Jehovah Rapha. That means the Lord who heals. We do that many, many times. I was in the hospital a couple weeks ago with my father. My father had a procedure being done, and believe it or not, one of the nurses that was there lives here in the same town around us and goes to a church here in our town. And before I even got to pray with my father, going into surgery, she said, do you mind if I pray? And absolutely, go right ahead. And she began to pray, and she called on Jehovah Rapha. I told her at the end of the prayer, I said, you know, you beat me to the punch. You beat me to the punch, because she prayed to the Lord who heals. And we were praying for God to heal. My mother was very distraught, and rightfully so. That's her husband of 50-plus years. Go almost 60 years. And so certainly she was very nervous and scared. And I told Mom, I said, God will work. She said this, not to put my mother down at all, because we all say it. She said, I hope so. I said, Mom, I know so. I'm trusting, depending on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And within about 25 minutes, everything was fine. Everything went well. Matter of fact, it went better than expected. See, that's the God who I know. So we find Jehovah Rapha. We find Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. He's my one that is with me. I represent. The Lord is my banner. We find Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the leader. He's the one who I depend on for leading me in the paths of righteousness and even walking with me through the valleys of the shadow of death. See, he's the Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. You'll find Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord, our righteous. I'm thankful that I have a righteous God. I have a holy God. I've got a God that knows no sin. He is not tempted, nor can he be tempted of sin. He is a sinless God. He is the God of righteousness. Then you'll find Jehovah Shammah, and I like this, and it means the Lord is there. The Lord is here. Hey, God is here with us all the time. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are on every man, beholding the evil and the good. No matter where you are, God is with you. David said, I wish I could mount up on the wings of a dove, and I wish I could go hear the depths of the sea. I wish I could go to the depths of the earth. And yet, he says, you're here. What does that mean? Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is always here. So when you and I pray, we ask God, we invoke it. Now we are depending on this God who is always here. He's almighty. He's a God who provides. He's a God who heals. He's a God who leads. He's a God of righteousness. And he's a God who is always with us. That's who you are praying to. That's who I am praying to. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's the truth. Psalm 73:28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. What a wonderful thing. Hey, we have a testimony when God answers our prayer. We can tell others how God provided, how God healed, how God led me. And that will also help them know the same God that you know. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. What does that mean? I am depending, fully resting in God, in him to answer in the best way for me. I might answer it wrongfully. I might try to do something that is not the best way. But God, who loves us more than anybody could, he knows what's best. And he will provide, and he will lead, he will heal, and he may not heal, but he knows what's best for us. Psalm 115:11 says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. What importance it is for us to know our source and to depend on him. Not only did he depend on the source, Jabez did, but he depended on him as his guide. He says in the verse number 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, O bless me indeed, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me. That thy hand might be with me. What is he saying? I want you to guide me in this journey. I want you to help me in this walk and lead me. Psalm 5:8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Psalm 143:10, lead me into the land of uprightness. David said, lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 43:3, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What is Jabez saying, and what is Jabez proving? And really, as an example, he is saying, I am letting God be my guide. My guide in my prayers. My guide in what I'm asking. My guide in leading me through this time until he shows me his answer. My guide through the answer. I want to not only depend on him, but I want him to lead me. Because if I start leading, if I take the driver's seat, I'm sorry, I'm going to take a road that we're not supposed to be on. David found that out. He fell into a pit. God said, David said, you pulled me up out of this miry pit, out of this horrible place that I could not turn anywhere else. And you pulled me up, you set me upon a rock, and then you established my goings. What did he do? He said, I want you to go this way. Follow me. I don't want you to walk in these pits anymore, and certainly don't turn around and fall back in the same pit. I want to lead you. And he did that others might see the works of God. So when you and I begin to pray, number one, we need to invoke it. We need to start the conversation. As we talk to the Lord, we are going to fully depend on Him. Why? Because He's our source. And He's our guide. Let me give you this last thing here. He's our protector. I'm grateful for that. Because Jabez said that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil. What is he saying? I need you to guide, protect me. Not only guide me and lead me, and I'm going to trust in you, but I need you to protect me. Why does he need protection? Because there is a spiritual warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Listen, Satan's going to come, and he's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to knock you off balance. He's going to try to detour you from your prayer and really and your dependence and your faith and your trust that you have in God. He's going to come to you, and he's going to say, you know, God is not that dependable. God is not that powerful. He's going to lead you in a way you don't want to go. That's how Satan works. And so Jabez knew, even from historical accounts, maybe in his own life, he knew the reality of evil. He knew the reality of sin and how I can transgress and go in a wrong way. And I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of walking in a direction that I regret every time I go. Now, Lord, I want you to protect me. I want you to guide me. I want you to protect me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing. But there's no other place to go but to stay close to God. There's no other place to be except close to God. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Praise God. I've been in the sand many times. I've been along the ocean, the coastline. And if you stand in the sand long enough and let those waves come, you're going to sink, 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 sink. But if you're on a rock, you're not. David said, I want you to put me on a rock. Psalm 64:2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the instruction of the workers of iniquity. There will be those who say, well, God's not going to bless you with that. God's not going to heal you. God's not going to provide for you. Listen, Lord, keep me from those individuals. Keep me from the enemies that's going to take me away from fully depending on you, from fully trusting in you. After I presented to you my prayer, my heart, my wishes, my desires, I've given all these things to you. Now, Lord, I am going to depend on you. Don't let the evil things take me and distract me from fully depending and having faith in you. Psalm 143, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Hey, if you're going to run, you might as well run close to the Lord and stay close to him under the shadow of his wing. Jabez didn't want anything to hinder his prayers from being answered. Keep me from sinning. Keep me from going in a sinful direction. Psalm 119:173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. Listen, when you are in a state of prayer, you do not want sin to interrupt. You do not want circumstances to redirect you. We are to stay focused. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My focus is on God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, we need to stay focused in a time of prayer. Jabez saying, as I walk with you, keep me close. As I follow you, keep me close. As I serve you, keep me close. And let nothing obstruct or impede our prayer from being answered. This is a powerful challenge for each one of us to begin this year. Let us, when we initiate and invoke, number one, invoke the prayer, initiate the prayer, and then depend on the source. Let nothing become an obstruction. Nothing impede our prayer from being answered. And this is, again, a very powerful, powerful challenge to each of us. And we can rely on the source, the God, the very God who delights. I think it's really neat. He delights in answering your prayer. Number one, let's get communicating with God. You want some prayers being answered, you got to start asking. Start inquiring. And number two, start depending on him. Start depending on him. Have faith. Have trust. Put your rest in him. And then knowing that he's a source, he's a God who heals, he's a God who supplies, he's a God who leads us, who protects us, and so on and so forth. That's who we are praying to. I'm going to give you the third one here this week, Lord willing. Number one, start praying. Number two, start depending. This is Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio, 1045 Monroe Concord Road. You come by and visit with us. You can go on to our YouTube page. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can view all of our my devotions and all of our services on that page, and certainly would encourage you to do that if you have any questions at all, anything about the Bible. You might have a prayer request that you would like for me to help you pray through. I would be happy to do that. Just email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I will get back with you right away. Love to have you come by and visit with us. If you're looking for a church, please stop by and visit with us. Love to see you. Well, I hope you have a blessed day. Stay safe. Stay warm during these snowy days. And try not to go out if you don't need to, all right? But I hope to see you here at the church sometime, or see you online. Lord bless you.